people who stand and have grown is determined to see to put his roots down and his as he shares, Father, that we catch something, that as he drops these thoughts and things that you've been planting in his life, that we can catch that too, as a faith community, a bunch of people who are searching to become closer and closer to you. Pray that everything comes out clear. Holy Spirit, we pray that you activate our hearts, that give us ears to hear and hearts to hear as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cheers, mate. Cheers, mate. Good up with an intro there, mate. Appreciate it. I guess what I'm speaking about tonight is not directly about the word of seed, but it's kind of like I've had the seed of thought planted in my life, and so it does reflect exactly that, because these thoughts have been planted in my mind and my heart, and now I'm sort of talking about it. It's a little bit of a reflection of some of the things I've been going through the year, and that's just general busyness, I guess, and just managing it in a way. And then it's sort of, sometimes you have to stop and pause and go, hang on, what's going on here, you know? So I'm sort of talking about that, because I believe, it seems to me just an observation, a lot of people are really busy these days, and I kind of want to think and talk about that, and I think it's something we need to all stop and actually think about what's going on and what with our time. So, on this side of the building, I've strategically placed my cell phone, and over this side, my Bible. So it's for a reason, so let's get into it. So the title of the sermon will be Oceans. It's real deep. Is it going there, T? Here we go. So distractions, busyness, and peace. That's how you spell busyness, eh? There was a bit of a debate at home, mate. Yeah, thumbs up from Dad.
Yeah.
Good. So that's just my, that's business. Yeah, you can debate about that later. Anyway, distractions, busyness, and peace. That's a distraction right there, right? We're getting the thumbs up from everyone. Cool. So, and this is something, like I said before, I've had quite a busy year just with work, family, and just juggling things. And I have to sometimes stand back and look at that and what's important, that sort of thing. So, to the next one, too. Years ago, I saw this movie. It's one of my favorite movies, Shawshank Redemption. And in the movie, there's this character, Brooks. He's been inside prison for 50 years, and he finally gets out. And it's quite, years ago when I saw this movie, this quote that he says just stuck in my head. And he comes out and he struggles to get back into society because they said he's been inside for 50 years. And the first thing he noticed, he looked around and he struggled to get slot into work, and he really struggled. He couldn't believe everyone's just running around with a lot of pace, and he's, the world has got itself in a big darn hurry. That was his quote, and it kind of stuck in my head. He struggled with the way the world basically just sped up with his, I guess you could say, time out while he was in prison. And I sort of think about that quite a bit when I think, man, what if he had popped in today? That was based on, I guess, the 70s, I guess, that movie. If he was to slot out 50 years and to slot out in today's society, he'd be like, what the heck, because we are just going crazy fast these days. And a lot of that that speed that we're all sort of, I guess, the train we're all on, it has a lot to do with technology. And technology these days is incredible. I love it. I love watching things develop. I think it's cool seeing things, I guess they're supposed to help and support our lives, make it easier, supposedly, but sometimes I think, far out, man, it's just interrupting at times, eh? So, next slide, Tina. Back in 1969, when, I think that was the year that first landing on the moon, that when those computers all together, combined, compared to the smartphone today, our simple smartphone has more power and all of the computers by next right to in fact, not just a little bit, there's a million times more powerful than all the computers combined in that NASA launch back in the day. It's just crazy when you think far out. So basically, with your smartphone, you can go to the moon, dudes. Have you ever tried that app? Me. But yeah, there's a bit of I've written a bit of things that got cut out there underneath. So yeah, I thought that was pretty crazy. I look at that 1969, far out, it's come a long way. And, and to think we've got these powerful, crazy, crazy things at our sides, and we're surrounding us all the time. We're at home, the cell phones, of course. We go to work with they're in our cars, on the TV, you name it. They're everywhere. These crazy, powerful, potent machines. This guy here, Simon, we'll call him. He did this bit of a spiel on. He targeted the millennials, but I'll say anyone that's involved in the digital age. he sort of noted some of the down points about people that are just engraved in their phones and social media and that these days. And I thought it was quite interesting. But I just pointed out a few things from his points. He says the digital age has come and has had severe consequences on how we communicate these days with people. Social media has forever changed the landscape for building relationships. Rather than building meaningful relationships, millennials, or I say the digital age, are obsessed with the likes and followers. We're somewhat addicted to our notifications. And through those notifications and likes, we experience a rush of dopamine, which is that same chemical that's activated in smoking, drinking, and gambling. Social media account for portraying happy, fulfilled life when it's not necessarily true. We know that about social media. It's the old post the best, forget the rest mentality. And I think there's an offset with that sort of thing that leaves people, if they're not in that sort of good state, they can just feel bad and not so good about themselves. And there's a lot of that that goes, that underpins it, and that is not spoken about, as you can say. It's not particularly healthy, and it's not what I'm going to focus on, but sometimes you've got to think about these things at times. And the internet is an amazing thing. It is, far out. I think about when I was a little fellow like my kids, and we didn't have it. These guys were born in it, and I think, man, I went to school through primary years, and even through early high school years, same age now, but man, that's that sort of age when it started kicking in for me. It's not till I didn't get smartphones weren't really a thing until I was in my 20s, early 20s. And so school was a lot different for me from what I'm seeing today. I had to look after a class the other day. I was teaching in Hamilton, and the teacher said to me, can you just take this class for a while? I'm going to pop out. It's pretty easy because they're just in their interaction social part of the day is when they have a bit of downtime. I was like, oh, sweet, yes, no worries. So I just sat on my computer doing my work, and I said, hey, fellas, just carry on with your work. Just carry on. I'm supposed to just interact with each other. That's the idea of that time, for about 10, 15 minutes. And I was like, cool. And I look up within a couple of minutes, all of them. Isn't there supposed to be talking with each other? I'm like, good conversation, lads. You having a good yarn, eh, boys? They all looked up. And I kind of think, and that's kind of a lot of what we see today. This next one, too. And this is a pretty common thing, unfortunately. I mean, I can't say I haven't done it before in my life. I've never used my cell phone in public. I mean, it happens all the time. I did it actually last night. Me and Lana went out on a date. And I sort of, and then, yeah. And I was on my phone for 6 years. What are you talking on tomorrow night? And I'm like, oh, yeah. But it happens, you know. It's so easy. And I'm not saying I'm innocent to this stuff. We all are, you know. You've got to sort of say it's common sight, right? And we do it ourselves. The next one, Taylor, and after their dinner, nice dinner with each other, let's have a selfie, put on social media, let's go out to a concert after that, Taylor. And then, oh yeah, this is what we see. And you know, it's pretty common, right? That's the concerts today. And I sort of think, wow, but it is the classic common sight. People share their concerts on social media, YouTube, you name it. And it's kind of a cycle we have today. So instead of just absorbing and taking it in, we do that. And that's, you know, what I put up there is a bit of a mockery somewhat, but there's a lot of truth in that, right? You know, as technology develops, it's cool, man. I love it. I love seeing it develop. Again, you've got to think, what's happening here? Internet in general, so this one's too. The internet in general, I'll actually do a quick timeline first. In 91, the World Wide Web was created. It's not that long ago, really, when you think about it, obviously, when you were born, but it's actually not that long ago. In 95, Netscape was introduced. Netscape was when you could actually start doing transactions safely on the internet. 2001, Wikipedia, boom, massive encyclopedia. That's a cool thing, man. I've done a lot of homework from that thing. 2004, Facebook was launched. Now over 2 billion users are there, and obviously the launch of other Instagrams and whatnot, social media platforms come from that. 2007, the iPhone was the first big 2 megahertz smartphone that hit the market. And now today, 7 million people on the planet, and 24 billion devices are connected, so that's average of 3 per person. Oh, that's a lot, eh? It's pretty incredible. Doesn't mean we all have 3 devices, but you think about it, I've got a phone, a computer at home, and you know, whatever else like that. So it's amazing, really, amazing stat. And you can sort of, I'm not standing here to poo-poo this technology, I think it's about, like I said earlier on, but my main focus is business and distraction. I think this is and just another point on the web, they say the web has three layers. When I was doing this research, I sort of found this stuff out on the way through. That one's quite interesting. And what we use most of the time is called the surface web. That's for your Google, Wikipedia, social media, you name it. That what underneath it is they call the deep web, where you've generally got a login, passwords, you name it, coded to get into it, government information, scientific information, you name it. And it's somewhat blurred these days because of the hacking that goes on. I'm not talking about National Labour hacking, you know, that was a bit of a debacle. But down here, oh, it's cut off, down here is what they call the dark web. And it's, I think it was 6% of users use it. And that is basically hideous. It is nothing good comes of the dark web. It's basically trafficking, drug stuff, pedophilia. It's just hideous stuff like that. The web community says basically nothing comes good of the dark web. I didn't even know it existed, you know? But that's real. That's out there. Put it away. We only use 4% of what the web holds. But I don't want to say we put a big downer on technology. There's obviously there's so many good things. Google, well, that thing is incredible. Emails, maps, weather, buying, selling, YouTube, social media, banking, education, worldwide communication, and the apps we get these days. It's all good stuff. It's really good stuff. And I just want to firstly say too that we can get a bit paranoid about this stuff too, but just remember, you look at that stat of the different layers of the web and that sort of thing, but I also want to say that, you know, I often think, what would Jesus do if he was in here in these days? I think he'd be right and nitty gritty, and he'd be shining his light in these dark areas too. And I often think that too. How would he be doing it in technology like this? How much you think? But as this stuff grows, as technology, which I call man's creation, grows and develops, busyness kicks in so many different areas of our life. I think more than anything, the need for God's creation, God's technology is us, you know. He created something that embedded in our DNA, human character and the traits that we have in the world. It's a technology that, never, ever touched. And that's things like, passion, critical thinking, creativity, kindness, values, humor, awareness, knowledge, dreams, ethics, insight, compassion, respect, emotion, judgment, mistakes, randomness, inspiration, intuition, imagination, foresight, consciousness, empathy, and most of all, love. Technology will never give us love, true love. And that's something, it's an amazing thing to think about. God is the creator of love. He's the author of love. Technology will never overdo that. On that note, I just want to tell you something. This guy here, Steven Jobs, if you don't know him, he's the creator of Apple, the chairman of the business. He was one of the richest dudes in the world. And he was the envy of a lot of business because his, obviously, Apple went ballistic, went huge. But he wrote this quite a sombering letter as he passed away. And I just want to read through some of the points of that letter. It's pretty... my research, when I read this, I thought, oh man, did he actually live his life with God? He passed away. I understood that he didn't quite get there, but he came very close to, and he had thoughts that were wrestling with a lot of the stuff. And as I read the stuff, you pick up on there's a guy that's clearly he wrestled with a lot of the busyness of his own life that he put into technology, you know, and it just messed up a lot of his clear thinking. That's what that comes through in the words that he left in this final writing. I read it and we'll pick up on some of these things. I reached the pinnacle of success in the business world. In others' eyes, I was the epitome of success. However, aside from work, I have little joy. In the end, wealth is the only fact of life that I'm accustomed to. At this moment, lying in the sickbed and recalling my whole life, I realized that all the recognition, the wealth that I took so much pride in, had paled in and become meaningless in the face of impending death. In the darkness, I look at the green lights and the life support machines and I hear the humming of the mechanical sounds. Can feel the breath of God growing closer. The non-stop pursuing of wealth will only turn a person into a twisted being, just like me. Those are amazing words, just that part alone, you know. He really realized, what did it do to me? He's consuming himself building this technology, but he lacked that thing that, you know, over here, God, he provides us. That's love, that's real love, you know. He had all the money in the world, he could get anything he wanted, but still, he says here, yeah, it's just a twisted person. pale to nothing. He goes on to say, God gave me the senses to let us feel the love in everyone's heart, not just the illusions that it brought their wealth. Which is incredible to him saying that too. He recognizes that this is nothing. He obviously was wrestling with this whole God thing in himself. You know? The wealth I have won in my life, I cannot bring that with me. Love has riches and will follow you. The company can be strength and life as well. You can employ someone to drive the car for you, make money for you, but you cannot have someone to bear the sickness for you. Material things can be lost and found, but there is one thing that can never be found once lost as well. And he writes this thing, but this caught my eyes and ears, a spark here. When a person goes into the operating room, people realize that there is one book that is yet to finish. And that's the book of Healthy Life. And I thought, man, that's right here. That's available for us, you know. That's available for us to learn about the creator of love, the author of life. Stuff here. But that won't, what we've got here is just it's trying to replace our gift of life, supposedly, but it's not. Right there is exactly that. And he was obviously reaching and he wanted that, but he didn't quite get over the line. He goes on to say, whichever stage of life we're in right now, which time, we'll face the day when the curtain comes down. Quite sombering, eh? It's like, whoa. That's a dude that hadn't given his life to God, but you gotta think, man, he must have, I don't know, maybe dead in his dying breath, I don't know. So, personally, through my, just recently, like I say, recently I've been just busy, just straight out, just busy with a lot of it, just this sort of stuff. Okay. I jump on to do a bit of, you know, emails and whatnot, and then bang, Facebook is a rule. And just, it's a lot of that sort of stuff that happens. And then I finish and I just kill half an hour or whatever, and then, you know, busy with my family or just day to days, and then relax, watch a bit of TV or whatever, then bang, computer. I just go back and forth, and also my day's gone. I'm like, yeah, I spent no time with God. And that can happen the next day. Weeks pass, months pass, and you're like, oh, heck, and this emptiness kicks. And lately I've had these moments where I've just gone, I've got this, I don't know how to describe it, but I just feel clogged up. It's like, it's kind of like this emptiness. I really don't know how to put it in words until I realize I just release myself. I push that aside, and I just come over here. And this, as I read, this one just stuck in me recently, and just resonated in my head. So it's Philippians, so basically I went upstairs and I just put, and I just opened the curtains, looked out over a mountain in Raglan, and I just read. But this one really stuck out to me. Philippians 4:4-7. Always be full of joy, says the Lord. So, say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can ever understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as so I've got a Bible, just want to look up the end. I'll give it to them. As you live in Christ Jesus. Can you just go to the next one, Taylor? I've just pinpointed a few words. So let's go over that again. It says, always be full of joy. Always, not just sometime. Always. I think of that just, you know, we can live a life of glass is half empty. We can focus and be down on our issues and problems. But what Peter's saying here is always be full of joy of the Lord. That can be hard at times. He's not saying be fake. But look to what the good in our life, positive, and always be, look to the joy of what's in our life. And say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate. Everyone. If God has placed His people in our life, our past, our friends, people we hang with, people we surf with, people we do work with. Just let everyone know that you've got this thing in your life and you hold on to it, that's great. So let them see you looking. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. So break down that word considerate. Thoughtful, concerned, mindful, obliging, accommodating, helpful, cooperative, patient, kind, decent, unselfish, compassionate, sympathetic, caring, charitable, generous, polite, sensitive, civil, tactful, diplomatic. Pretty powerful word when you think about it, eh? that everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Just as we've been going over the series in the morning, the Kingdom series, I think. Something that put in our heart and minds. It could be the curtains might close on us before you know it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. In other words, if things are going bad, talk to God about it. If things are going good, talk to God about it. He wants that relationship with us. He wants us to work through those things. He's there. You know, to download it and actually help us through. He will. If you do this, you'll experience the peace. I want to talk about that. When I actually pushed all this busyness and just aside and spent time with God, I experienced this peace. When I went back downstairs to the family, and I actually felt, I don't know how to put it in words, but I felt lighter. I was clearer in the head, and I was like, I had this sort of, I don't know, the only way I could describe it was that word peace. We met Lana talking about it the other night. She's saying, oh yeah, she says when she goes to meetings or something, she has just such a much more of a clearer head. And, I don't know, I'm sure a lot of you guys have experienced that, right? But it's a cool thing, and that's a gift for us. God gives us that gift to be able to tackle life with a clear heart and mind. And that is more than the human mind can understand. That stands out to me. I think if my kids, you know, they have problems in their life about whatever, because they can only see that far. And that's the same with us. We have problems in that. We can only see that apart. God, He knows it's alright. He can see forever in our lives. He sees eternity, you know. So what problem that to us is not to Him. And that gives you peace just knowing that. It's got a couple of verses about this as well. I deliberately put some of these verses over the back, with Raglan background, because I think in Raglan we're blessed to be able to look out on God's awesome creation. And I love when I go for a surf and I'm looking out at the waves, the mountains. Reagan's amazing like that, you know. And it's peaceful in that, you know. And I think, and I often pray when I'm in the water and just put on the surf, you know, so you can't do it in any base. But if I, oh yeah, it's boys. There you go. Look, if you find a place and you just look out, wherever it is, might be on the farm, might be going for a walk around the water, whatever. But you might find that place where you can just absorb some of God's creation and spend time with praying and with God's word. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart, since members of one body were called to peace and be thankful. John reads, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not afraid. And he says, be still, know that I am God. Like I said, it's an amazing gift that God gives to us, that peace. So we'll finish with this last verse here. Matthew 6:6. When you pray, go to your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what you have done in secret will reward you. And I think the reward so often is simply peace. So I just want to leave you with the thoughts of, you know, whatever distraction, I pointed out technology, I don't know what distraction in your life, we all have them, and that's right. Don't, make sure you spend time in the word intentional time. Ross said it earlier on the year, you use the word intentional. I don't know if you remember that, but I looked up. That stuck out to me. I was like, I've kind of started thinking about that, and it's that intentional time we spend with God, He will give you that peace, and honestly, you will tackle life in a whole new way. If God, this whole God thing is something that you're yet to, you're wrestling with it even if it's real. I just challenge you to, distractions, eh, bro? Thanks for giving the example, mate. But, you know, if you're wrestling with this whole God thing, I just challenge you to, find a place that you can just sit down and say, God, if you're real, show me. He will come to you. I don't know how it will. I've heard so many different stories that God has met people, and that's awesome. So, hey, thanks, guys. So,